From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. President Barack Obama made the rounds this week, visiting with Republican lawmakers and corporate CEOs. The president is pulling out all the stops in an effort to gain bipartisan support for his economic recovery package. And the Senate Judiciary Committee approves Eric Holder's nomination for Attorney General. Will Holder be easily approved in the Senate? Here with their views on the latest political news are Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for Comcast Network, host of Roll Call TV, and a professor at George Washington University. Hello, both of you.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, listen, let's talk about President Obama. He met with business CEOs today in an effort to drum up support for his economic plan. Afterward, he spoke about how well that meeting went.
Corporate America will have to accept its own responsibilities to its workers and the American public. But these executives also understand that without wise leadership in Washington, even the best-run businesses can't do as well as they might. They understand that what makes an idea sound is not whether it's Democrat or Republican, but whether it makes good economic sense for their workers and companies.
Mary, he is working every angle, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely, and he's right to work every angle because this is a huge stimulus package and nobody knows whether it's going to work or not. We hope it will. And at the same time, it does have things in it that are considered flaws that are attacked by the Republicans. He's got enough Democratic votes, even though some Democrats are a little worried about it, to get it passed, but in fact, he wants to get as much of a consensus as possible so that everybody in the country is on board, so that it becomes everybody's stimulus and not just his in terms of how it turns out. And that's smart.
You know, the president has been meeting with legislators on Capitol Hill, as we all know. House Republican leader John Boehner says his GOP colleagues enjoyed yesterday's conversation with the president. Representative Mike Pence said they were grateful for the dialogue with Obama. Some said he was a great salesman but had a lousy product, namely the stimulus. So, Robert, this is test number one for the new president, and it's not clear to me how well he is going to do, even if he gets it passed on Democratic support only.
You're exactly right, Tony. Look, the president recognizes that failure is not an option. This economy is way too complex, and the problem is way too severe for anyone to fail. And what he's trying to do, and I would make the argument from a political standpoint, he's doing it brilliantly, is he's trying to make sure that everyone's fingerprints are on this stimulus package so that, A, he can say to the American people that we're all in this together, but also, B, that if, in fact, it does fail, he can say, at least we try, but everyone is to blame, not just him. Remember, Tony, this man is up for re-election 4 years in 2012, and the White House is already thinking about how to position him in 2012, regardless of who the Republican nominee is going to be. The American people have always voted by their pocketbooks, and if the economy is humming along, I would suspect and predict that the president would get re-elected. But if it's not, expect the president to go down in defeat.
Well, Mary, you know, there is, of course, as we've said, no unanimity in Congress on the stimulus package. But I'm curious about this, and I'd like to get your response. It seems to me that there is a gap in ideology between House Republicans and Senate Republicans. Now, if you agree, to what do you attribute that? Because are GOP senators more willing to go along with the plan than their House counterparts?
Well, there is disunity on the Republican side between the House and the Senate because senators, of course, represent whole states. That's one thing. And depending on what's going on across the state economically, they would be more inclined to be in favor of something than House members who represent districts. And it depends a lot on who the people are in their districts. There's another point. The House seems to have not taken a bipartisan approach to developing the legislation, which has left the House open to criticism. Speaker Pelosi famously said that, yes, we won the election and we wrote the bill, which gave them something on the Republican side to jump on, the lack of bipartisanship. Whereas on the Senate side, the senators in charge of the committee seem to have been talking to the Republicans, crafting legislation together. But the Senate has different traditions and different approaches. Also, the margin in the House is much larger than it is in the Senate for the Democrats. They can win without them, and the Republicans in the Senate still have the ability to filibuster, whether they would or not. So they have more leverage than the Republicans in the House.
Well, you know, Robert, John Boehner seemed to soften his position, and as the leader in the House, he's not able to get his guys to go along with him, it appears.
Yeah, well, you know, John Boehner has a very difficult problem. One is because he recognizes that as a member of the House, the majority rules. That's how the rules are set up, as Mary mentioned or alluded to in reference to the Senate. The Senate obviously is a little bit different because the minority also rules as well. And so what Boehner needs to do is he needs to keep his rank and file in check, but he also needs to keep his pulse to the American people. The American people right now are hurting, and they want their elected officials to do something. So he has two constituencies, is what I'm trying to say, Tony. One, his rank and file House members, who represent very interesting and diverse districts, but also to the American people. According to the latest poll, 69% say, you know what, we want some type of economic stimulus package, but what we don't want is $20 million going to Planned Parenthood or, you know, $2 billion going to Acorn. We want this money to go into the American economy, so thus in the process, the ball keeps rolling.
And the Democrats have been sensitive to this poll business. They dropped the money going to family planning. They also dropped the item going to fix up the mall when the Republicans seized the National Mall when the Republicans seized on that. So everybody's sensitive to how these things are playing out with the public.
Let's move on to this topic. The Senate Judiciary Committee voting to approve Attorney General nominee Eric Holder. Now, today's vote comes after Senate Republicans had forced a one-week delay. At issue was whether Holder would attempt to prosecute intelligence agents who authorized controversial interrogation tactics like waterboarding, something Holder has testified that he believes is torture. So there were a couple of holdouts, Mary, on the committee who voted against Holder over the issue of these possible future prosecutions. But the committee support overall seems to signal that this won't be an issue of major consequence for Holder against the whole Senate. Is that right?
No, he will likely get confirmed in a matter of days. Eric Holder will. He's superbly qualified. And Senator Specter has been trying to touch him up around the ears a little bit. The strategy with Eric Holder was to have the Republicans beat up on him in sort of a revenge for what happened to Gonzalez and Alberto Gonzalez, and then to go ahead and confirm him. No one has in mind not confirming him. And then there were a couple of senators who were concerned about whether they're going to prosecute anybody for using these interrogation techniques and wanted to get some kind of firm commitment on that. But it's a delay, but Obama has already started naming the people who will be the assistant attorney generals and jobs below Eric Holder, and he'll be confirmed in a matter of days.
Let's talk about this potential prosecution issue a little bit more, Robert. Do you think that Obama would pursue prosecutions against former Bush administration officials if it could be proven that they committed serious violations of the law, even if Obama's Justice Department doesn't go looking for anybody on their own?
I don't think so. I think intuitively the president wants just to move the ball forward and not look back. I think his supporters, though, particularly MoveOn.org, maybe Nancy Pelosi and the more left wing of the Democratic Party, wants the president to do that. But, you know, this president is a little bit different. He's showing us through his cabinet appointments, Tony, through his public statements and his overall disposition, that he wants to govern as a moderate. And the last thing that you want to do is go to the extreme left and alienate the people out there that voted for you, i.e. these Obama Republicans and these moderate Democrats and these Reagan Democrats, whatever you want to call them. So, no, to answer your question, I don't think that's going to happen, although I do think there's going to be a lot of chatter. I think this is going to probably stir up in the blogs, and then particularly with Obama's hard left supporters, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Well, there are people who are not even hard left, I mean, who think that there ought to be some prosecutions. In fact, you can argue that if government officials spend 8 years in office and do things that are in violation of the law and no one does anything about it ever, that just means that the next administration can do whatever they want, and no one will ever say anything about it. Once it's over, and it stays. So there are arguments, on the other hand, for pursuing some of these things, but I agree with Robert that Obama has already made clear that he's not interested in pursuing them.
Well, you know, this thought came to me, Mary, and I thought of you, actually. Is this situation with Bush and Guantanamo et al. Similar to 30 years ago, let's go back, you and I, when then-President Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon because, as he said at the time, the nation needed to heal from the wounds of Watergate and move forward?
Well, that's what Obama is essentially saying. Whatever happened happened, and whatever legal opinions were out there, which he has already disavowed, which gave cover to the things that happened, and whatever cover-ups took place, that the country doesn't need to be bogged down in discussing those, and we should just move on. It's the same thing. Some people think that Gerald Ford paid a price for that in the election that took place after that when Jimmy Carter beat him. I don't think Obama's going to pay any price for this. There'll be some grousing and some complaining and some efforts by members of Congress even in the Judiciary Committee to do something. But I don't think anything will happen, and I don't think there will be any retribution for him.
Well, the abyss politically that we were in the 70s is not comparable to where we are now, unless you're talking about the financial abyss that we are in, which is worse than the one that we were in in the 70s. Mary Robert, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Tony.
That was Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast Network, CNH, host of Roll Call TV, and a professor at George Washington University. They both joined us from Washington, D.C.